All right, so let's go to him in prayer. Let's do that right now. Lord, in the waiting finds courage so that we can say, from now on, these eyes will not be blinded by the lights. From now on, what's waited till tomorrow starts tonight, right now. Let your promise in us start, becoming like an anthem in our hearts to be lived. From now on, from now on. Amen. Well, I want to start off by saying happy Super Bowl Sunday to everybody. When I came in here this morning, I get here fairly early. Our flower person was in here and noticed the colors that she put in. And the first question she asked me was, who are you rooting for today? I looked at her, I said, I guess I'm rooting for the Rams. But I said, I got a problem with that because I got a son who's a big Patriots fan. And she said, you know what? If he wants red and blue in there, he's on his own. He's going to have to provide him himself. So you're getting blue and yellow, all right? All right, going in today. But again, I love this day. I love this day not only because it's a Super Bowl Sunday for a lot of folks everywhere. I mean, just celebrating food and friendship. I know some people get together. We're going to have a houseless and part of our community meal that's going to celebrate that this summer. All centered around the big game. You know, if you're like me, I like the commercials. It's the only time of the year I like commercials, but I like the new commercials, the big halftime production, everything that goes behind it. But for us here at ILC, it's also another kind of Super Sunday, as every Sunday around here is, because every Sunday we celebrate what Christmas starts is what Easter celebrates. It's a mini Easter service because we have a Savior who not only looked like he was down and out, the underdog, when our sins took his life, but he came back. He got back up, the greatest comeback of all time. He won. He rose again from the seemingly dead, handing us the victory and the fuel to run our game of life's race with. No matter what quarter of life you might find yourself in, it's never too late or never too soon to start. Thus, every Sunday is an alive again refueling celebration where 2 Corinthians 5:17 comes true, is resolutely renewed for us in how the old is gone and the new has come. We are constantly in the state of renewing because we don't get to relive last week. The old is gone. The new has come. We get the gift of a new day, a new week, and here we go. It's just the rhythm to life. And part of the practice is not to get stuck. But not only is it for this Sunday, what makes it even bigger for us this Sunday, it's our very own ILC Vision Sunday 2019, where I get to share about where we see our preferred outcomes heading, the new being embraced as opportunities instead of threats. We can entertain these changes in two ways. It can be a threat, or it can be an opportunity. Ordained by God, and because you're here, ordained in your lives, individually, as well as corporately, today. And we're going to talk about where our offensive and defensive and special team coordinators have come up with for our 2019 game plan and beyond, as this is not just a one-and-done deal. That's not what we want. We want a dynasty here. It's been a dynasty for 95 years plus. We would love to see it go for another 95 years to come. They're Patriots. Try to beat that, all right? Because God's grace vision for his people is always moving any of us from here to there, because that's what it does in sharing his hope by doing whatever it takes to help each other answer, what is Christ in you just dying to do? The ultimate game-winning plan for life. Adam and Eve had to leave a garden, and God walks with them. They went from an old to a new, and he walked with them. Abraham goes to a strange country. Had to leave, had to go, figure all of that out. And God walks with them. The old went, the new came. Moses leads a group of people from slavery into the wilderness, and they get stuck there. But they still move from here to there. And then Joshua and Caleb start a new progression. A new generation, a new leadership that takes them into places they haven't gone before. And by the way, in our Old Testament series, when we re-engage in that, that's where we're going to be going, is into the River Jordan, into the Promised Land. No accident, we're arriving there. At the same time, we're arriving here. Because every one of these folks, every one of these stories is about winning the game of life and life and then some. Because he's already won it for us. It's hearing Jeremiah 29:11 that was read before you earlier. Think of this. God himself says to each one of us here today and everyone, the Lord declares. Put an exclamation point there because that's a different word for him. Declares. Doesn't suggest. Here it comes. I know the plans I have for you. Where does this activity in our life start? With God. In the beginning, the old is gone, the new is gone. Here it is. I know the plans I have, plans to prosper you, to lift you up, to cause you to soar and mount on wings of eagles, to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. Not to harm you. Because then, if you receive that, you will call on me. You will call on the God of the universe, and you will come, and you will talk with me. You will pray to me, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to listen to you. He's going to listen to me. You can seek me, he says, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Not a mind pursuit, not a lukewarm pursuit, but with all of who we are. Because that's what he does for us. It's all heart, and for the matter of my heart is the Lord declares, and here he declares once again, I'll be found by you. Guys, in this new year, and some of you put it on those chains over there, if you will seek him, you're going to find him. Because he wants to be found. And that's what this community is counting on and intends for all of us to do individually and corporately. And we're going to help you with that through the whole year. We started with love and we started with hope and we started with joy. And today it's courage. To love him, to hope in him, to find joy in this journey and to find courage to love not only him, to love others because he first loves us. And on this particular team, we each have a role. We all have a role to play that was specifically designed. It's like lining up from the old days with kickball, and you pick the teams here and there. I think the NBA just picked their subs, and the captains had to pick them. Man, nobody gets left off this team. I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you. In fact, I want you to go find out more yous. Go get them. And get them to participate. Because we all get a role in this. And this became clearer for me at a prayer retreat I was at this week. I wasn't able to get the slides in here, but it became a little bit clearer to me in a retreat that we practiced something called The Practice of God. It was this book. It's by Brother Lawrence, if you've heard about him, but one of our district reps and my coach, actually, for doing ministry, Dust Kunkel, outstanding, gifted individual, taught it. And it was the best 3 days I've spent in a long time. We were asked to identify, when we came into the retreat setting, to identify one word. And one word that came to my mind was a couple of weeks prior to, Stefan, my son, and I went out hiking. It was his first time out at Defiance Point doing the five-mile loop. And we got back there, and we saw eagles back there. And we saw them soaring, and we thought that was pretty cool. And his favorite Bible passage, in fact, I think it's on its body somewhere, but Isaiah 40 says, mount up on wings like eagles. Soar. And I found myself thinking of that because when I drove into Cannon Beach that day, they got an eagle sanctuary right out of Cannon Beach. If you've ever been off that exit right there, guess what flew across the street right in front of my car and landed on a tree? It wasn't a pigeon. If you had to be here 2 weeks ago for that, okay? It was an eagle. And little did I know on Tuesday night, I chose his verse. But on Tuesday night, we did that as our Bible study. Didn't know that was going to happen for Tuesday night. It was on Isaiah 40. But Dust gave us a comparison. And this is what resonated with me, because I chose the word soar. I want to soar personally. I want to soar, and my faith has moved towards doing what I'm doing. I want each of you to soar. Because when I see Zach soaring, or I see Diana soaring, I see Chuck soaring, I see Brian, I see any of our peeps that are soaring, it brings great joy to my heart. But I don't only want that, I want this whole place to soar. Because God wants it to soar. And so I went with the word soar, and then they asked you to have 3 points, come up with 3 points in this particular study, in this particular reading that resonated with you. And Dust used this comparison. He said, and Brother Lawrence talked about, in developing this practice of the presence of God, you need to start somewhere, but it took him 10 years and counting to really get it where he was taking 2 steps forward, 1 step back, instead of 2 steps back, 1 step forward. It takes a while to develop it. But I want to develop it. I want you to develop it. And we need to look at it. So I looked at that. And Dust starts to compare about how when he went kayaking, he was given a passion to learn kayaking. 3 things were keeping him from kayaking, though. One of them was the fear of death. Because everybody knows you get into a kayak, and what's one of the first experiences you get to experience? Upside down in the water. Am I coming back up? That's a scary moment, all right? But then you learn how to come back up. And then it's not as scary as you go forward, all right? So he had to get over that fear factor. Another fear factor of his was he had to motivate himself to practice. Because sometimes he would go kayaking and it would be cold and it would be wet outside and he didn't feel like doing that. He felt like staying warm and at home and in bed, and he had to get himself up and get out there to practice for that to come to fruition. So he needed to practice. So the fear of death, the fear of practice, and the other thing was he was fearful of when he got out there, he got in the kayak, he'd start kayaking, and all those people who had gone before him that had been kayaking for years, he felt like he was going to look like a dork, like he didn't have a clue what to do, because he didn't. So 3 things were preventing him, but for him to do that, he had to do a discipline to get it done and have it come forward. Well, as he was learning how to kayak, they would go out on fast-moving streams sometimes, and he had an instructor that was showing him how to do this, and here's what resonated with me. He said, that instructor says, if you want to get from one side of a fast-moving stream to the other, you have to do what's called a hard look. And a hard look is simply, you get in that kayak, if you focus on the kayak, you will end up downstream. If you focus at 5 or 10 feet in front of you because that water's moving, you will end up downstream. But if you focus on a target on that bank over there, that's all your focus is, you just keep paddling and doing whatever you take to get to that place, you got a better shot at making it. And I found myself thinking to myself, let's see, I got a Bible passage here. I want to soar. The very first thing for me is I need to do that hard look. Every day of my life, my baptism reminds me I get to do, new are his mercies. I get to do that look every day, because on the other side of the bank is a God it's not hard for. He's active. He's doing something in our lives, in this world. He's looking at us and moving towards us all the time with his love, with his joy, with this invitation to walk with him, not just do a Bible study, not just words on a page, not a religious duty of Sunday morning and then going out and living my life, but our Father who art in heaven, closer than the air you breathe, let's do life together. And this invitation of an opportunity, which is not a threat, even if you have to face death, which is really scary, get out there in the cold, or even look like a dork. So here I am, and I said, you know, I want to develop that hard look. Because it's, and I had to recognize, it's not a hard look for God. So my next point was, it's easy. It's easy for him. It's hard for us. He's offering. That's all he does. In fact, he offers so much, he would die for us and rise. I keep looking over there because there used to be a cross. Up here. He died for us and he rose again. He's already done the hard work. It's easy for him. And then finally, he wants it. even when I don't, which blows me away. So I want a hard look. I want to recognize it's easy for him, hard for me, and he desires this walk. Tie it into my Bible verse there, Isaiah 40, 31. I didn't have time to get it into Cuneo, put it up on the screen, although he could have done it 2 minutes ago probably if I would have just followed through on that. But that Isaiah, that where you soar on me, it says, those who wait on the Lord or those who hope, what do you find yourself putting your hope in, guys? Those who hope in the Lord, he's on that bank. It's not hard for him. That heart's there. He's offering hope. He's just offering to me. And all I got to do is look at it and receive it. That's the hard look. And what does it produce? It renews your strength. It gives you strength. Easy. Strength for him is easy. For me, it's hard. All I got to do is do that hard look and receive a strength from God like no other. To what? To soar. To mount up on wings of eagles per his invitation and go for the ride. Guys, the whole retreat started with this. Dust had the group in there, and there was this big round guy by the name of, if he listens to the tape, he's probably going to give me a hard time now. Big round guy with white hair. Bill was his name, Bill Gurney. He's down in Oregon. He practices this type of lifestyle. He's kind of good at it. He's become kind of a little mentor to me, but Dust saw him, and he said, Bill, would you start us off in prayer? You know what Bill said? I love this. He goes, well, why don't we move beyond prayer and just commune with him? That stuck with me all weekend. That's soaring. The God who stands on that bank with all of this, it isn't hard. It's easy. He's offering. Let's just start there. How many times do I use prayer to work my way to God? How many times do I find myself doing whatever I'm doing in here, doing whatever, and sometimes well, sometimes not, sometimes frustrated, sometimes happy, but doing it to work my way to God. All the disciplines that you guys practice, what, you know, we do the right thing, but maybe the better reason is what Bill said, let's just commune with him. And by starting there, maybe he can help us figure out how to pray and what to pray for. Maybe he will show us what to do and what to do for. And maybe we'll find a little bit of joy and an opportunities along the way. Guys, that's what we're invited into. That's what we get to walk with. And it all starts with his vision of giving us a faith vision in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. It's as easy and profound as that, because his delivery system, it's been delivered. It is the hope of the world. But you know what his delivery system is? It's his church. It's word and sacraments. That's the fuel, but it's not a building. It's not even the bread and the wine and that. It's what gets coupled into it. It's about the heart and his church. It's you. It's me. It's them. His people. And how we look at each other and how we treat each other is just critical. Because it changes how we grow and shaping us, his people, in doing life together. Because we come as we are, but because of love, we don't ever get stuck. We don't stay that way. Individually, and it happens in churches. Churches need to change. I sit around tables where churches are declining and they just say, we're not going to do a doggone thing. And they will do a doggone thing until they're not doing a doggone thing. Because the church was meant to be and growing and reaching out to people. Kind of like how a vision was delivered. You want a vision, Acts 16, verses 9 to 10. When a vision of a man from another place, a place far away, remember I told you about Abraham, all this, Paul, the artist formerly known as Saul, but became Paul. A vision of the man from Macedonia came to Paul during the night. An idea to do something, he stood urging Paul, come over to us and help us. This is what he saw. Now look at the response here. When God puts something on your heart, a passion, an idea, what's the response to be? Immediately, not wait Even though we sang a song about waiting, there's something about good timing. But then to do something, immediately after he saw the vision, from now on, Paul's eyes were not going to be blinded by the light, if you know that story. That goes a long ways, right? And what did they do? They prepared to get about it. Let's go. For wherever God is sending us, leading us, what's waited till tomorrow starts tonight. As his promise in us starts, it becomes like an anthem in our hearts, because that's what love does, concluding that God has called us to proclaim. And what was Paul's mission? To share the good news. His mission's our mission. And I would suggest to you, it's of the highest purpose of anything that you have in your life, bar none. To share the good news that other people can have a Savior too. You know, we have two communities that don't normally hang out together, a houseless community and a housed. And boy, if you could see behind the scenes and all the friction and the work that goes into that, right, Brian? But we're trying to do something here. And I get people all the time who tell me, we just had our Thriving representative, but I'm not exaggerating. This has been at least a half a dozen times telling me, and I don't know if they're thankful that it's us and not them. It could be that, but saying all the time to me, Garrett, finally a church that is practicing what it preaches. And our Thriving representative, Phil, says, you know what, I'm praying for you guys. He goes, I even have some of your clients that don't like what you're doing now. You know, I get the things thrown at me. Oh, you don't love us. You don't take care of us. That is just a load of hogwash, guys. I care enough because I want us to take those steps forward. I love enough because if Zach's growing, so am I. And we're not getting stuck. We're going on and we're taking new territory and we're going to a promised land. That's why when I came into the area here, we did a Nehemiah, a rebuilding of the wall. We got dreamers that I didn't tell them what to do. We just got people around that took a look and said, this is what we want to be. In fact, there was a group of people here that wanted to do this, but when they found out what it took, said, nope, that ain't for me. I'm out of here. Individually and corporately. And again, it's not for everybody. I'm not beating anybody up. Facts are our friends. It just is what it is, and I'm not afraid to name it. Never have been, and never will be. Because there's joy in this journey from now on. If we can change our thinking from everything being a threat to an opportunity given to us by God. See, Paul was a man guided by vision. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. It led to his conversion to Christianity and an incredible ministry that would span two continents. In our verses in Acts today, Paul is given another vision from God to further that vision to move forward. The vision was simply, the bigger vision, was to share God's love with each other, to preach the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ died for every single one of our sins, all of ours collectively together, and resurrected to a new life, a new redeemed life. And he was to give that to the people for him, of Paul, was Macedonia and beyond to us here today. And when Paul received that vision, a vision like no other, and it's the highest calling any of us had, Paul had no other option because it was the promise that in him started. And the vision was what guided it like an anthem. It became a way of life, closer than the air we breathe. A hard look, it's easy for him, hard for us. He desires it. From now on, let's do it. Because we get hope and we get strength. And we get to soar. God continues to lead through his vision. And maybe he's giving you a preferred vision. And again, we bring them collectively here as a community, but as an individual and of the future, maybe a preferred vision of the future towards which to strive. And it's never too late, never too soon to start. It might be a vision for your family. Maybe you got dynamics going on within your family that need to be taken care of. Pastor's family never has that problem, let me tell you. Right? But we do it. Maybe your vision is for your church. And again, I can't think of a higher calling to participate in. I'm second career, guys. I've tried everything. I tried to become an MBA official at one point. I wouldn't trade this for a world. Because it's where I'm supposed to be. And because we're here together, it's where you're supposed to be, right here, right now. And I can't think of a greater thing, a greater spending of your time than it is to build God's kingdom. I'd challenge you to find one and then share it with me because I want to know it too. Maybe it's a career. Huh? I'm at a stage with my kids, their next is next. They graduated college internships and they're just trying to figure out life. Preferably one that makes a big income so they can cover those college loans and mom and dad don't have to worry about it, right? Or maybe it's your community. You talk with a Bill Bowers and you'll see somebody that has a passion for his community. Puyallup and beyond. And I get to talk with them all the time. My question to you right here this morning is, and again, I've got more notes here, guys. I can go all day, so I'll kind of keep the watch here and watch it. But here's the first question. What stirs your heart? Where is your passion? And what possibilities excite you individually and then in a community? And maybe you can connect it to what possibilities excite God? Because I'm going to share a couple with you to give you an idea around here. But I want to start individually and work to the corporate, though. What stirs your heart? Where is your passion? What possibilities excite you? And what do you think excites God? The reason I start here, though, guys, is we need it to burn within us. If it does not burn within us, if that hope isn't being derivative from Him, that hard stare receiving His hope to be our strength, if we are not communing there first, it's coming from someplace else. And if it does not burn within us, we are not going to push through when we meet resistance. If it is not compelling enough, and boy, there's enough challenge going on, right? If it is not compelling enough, we will not count it the cost worth it to do it. Anything that is right will require a fight. You've heard it said, anything good is worth fighting for. And you bet it is. Because God thought about that of each one of us and would die for us and pick his life back up. And if we are going to come to the destination we will all need from now on, because it's going to happen this year, courage and determination as we wait and go forward in the Lord. That's why we have produced, and again, in your letter there that you can take a look at that was formed by some of our governance team. I see Aaron out there and Steve and Dan and a few of the others did a marvelous job to get us kick-started in that. You will see we saw as our connective points here at Emmanuel, community peer, youth peer, spiritual peer, and the grounds peer. We call them peers because we are no longer going to be the church that is across the street. We are going to become the church that is going across the street. And we are building peers of connection for the streams, for the water, for everything to run into, and maybe, just maybe, for some folks to hang out on. So 2 years ago, two short years ago, we formed all of this on that board. That's where it started. Actually, that's a second layer of a development there that we started working on together. Our community peer, which happens to be our biggest peer, outstanding. A youth peer, which is currently going under some revitalization. We've got Tristan that's leading up the high schoolers now. Our preschool, which is doing really well. And our spiritual peer, you know, Zach and them, I've been developing different worship formats. We've been looking at that. But we are not going to sit back and wait for things to happen. We are going to take the fight to the game. And we're going to employ those things that are and being proven that are working. And one of those sits in this room over here, which I will discuss in just a second. But we said we would do a Deuteronomy 23:7, where we're going to watch out, take care of, have compassion towards the alien, the orphanage, the orphans, the widows, and the marginalized. And we're not just going to think about it. We're just not going to talk about it. We are actually going to do something about it. And some people liked it, and some people don't. Just the way it is. But we said we were going to bring communities together that don't normally hang out. Now, because I didn't get to it in the first service because it went way too long, a couple of the other things we have available to us, and if you're new here, here's streams that you can connect into, and we will help with those connections. We're still developing those, but we will help you with that. Our three coffee house. Cuneo invited me to go over there and make bagels, and although I must not be very good at that because they fired me for making bagels, and now I'm on to another assignment, all right? So just so you know, they're kind of a tough group to work for, but you get over there, and just to be in, what they wanted me to do is get outside behind the counter and hang out with the kids and talk with them. So, but we got a three community. We've got a step-by-step moms above there right now that we've been in ministry with for a few years now. We're looking and seeing what we else we can do with that, perhaps. Maybe stay with it. We don't know. But we're forming that. And if you have a heart towards things, like if you like coffee, and I'll tell you, you'll love working alongside Cuneo and Allie and all of them there. Get involved. You know, we've got a youth, our preschool. And we're looking for ways to expand that, reach out into the community. Got these things that have been given to us. We just have to figure out how to use them, but not for ourselves. We are not going to be about the institution. We are not going to be about the club. We are not going to be about words on a page. We are not going to be just about where we all get stuck on that circular thing where 90% of the church finds itself in, is that I believe in Christ, but it's what I want. So we have arguments about podiums. And we have arguments about seats. And what we're moving towards, those aren't threats. Even if they go, it's an opportunity that you are being invited to engage in as just that. An opportunity, and I've done this ever since I walked in town. I told everybody, when people ask who's going to do the ministry, Chuck and I talked about this, you are. Because I'm here to equip, empower, and encourage. And I'm going to do it too. But that's particularly my role. And we're going to find solutions, which is the only thing that's ever been offered, to reach more people for the kingdom. In that letter, you will see 47% over and over again, when you walk out this door, people you encounter don't give a rip about a God who so loves. Our job is to give them a clue, to help them give a rip, because he does. And we're sold out to it, guys. We are simply sold out to it. Guys, change is hard enough for y'all, but think of your leadership team that's helping you navigate it. We got to help figure it out, and we got to do it ourselves too. This is hard, but maybe there's joy in the challenge. And we really think there is. And our team was really getting battered in the last 3 months of last year. Not only getting ready because everybody knew the changes were coming, so we had that going on, but spiritually as well too. Because what we're doing here, Satan isn't going to like. And he's going to throw up all kinds of roadblocks, including using our own stuff to keep us from getting there. We are not going to allow that to happen because of the cross of Christ and an empty tomb. We got the power. But I went out on a hike, which I normally like to do is because that's where I connect with God. I went out on a hike. He connects with me. I don't have to go very far. I go out there. I'm communing. I don't even have to say a prayer. Once I drive through those park entrances, I'm communing. And since the shutdown was going on at that time, you could only hike out a Longmire. So I pulled alongside, and I went to, Carmel will know this hike really well, went to Carter Falls, which is, you can leave out of Longmire. It's a fairly long hike, a little bit more difficult when there's snow, but beautiful, beautiful things along the way. I have been on this hike 6 times at least, guys. Prior to that, every time prior to that, for the last 3 years, when I got out there, I didn't even know where the mountain was because it was never out when I was out there. Now, by faith, I knew that mountain was there because I didn't see it, but I knew it was there. But this day, I walked out there, and here's part of the hike. In fact, go back to the slide before. That's Narada Falls. That's kind of towards the end of the hike, unless you decide to go on, which is really, really cool. The bridge up on top, if you kind of see it. The next one is Carter Falls, a portion of it. There's a series of cascades that happen. But on this particular day, I walked out there, guys, and I'm just wrestling with life. I'm trying to figure out, just like you, we're just doing life together. Don't have this whole thing figured out. Trying to figure it out, trying to help, trying to equip, trying to empower, trying to encourage. What do we do? Standing out there, I get out to this bridge that separates the Nisqually River from one side to get to the other to do the hike, and this is what I see. Now, you can call it happen chance, but I think this is where God's word comes alive. I stood on that bridge, and I finally saw that mountain. And the passage, as I'm wrestling with all of this, you know what comes to mind? A God who in that moment says, call on me, and I will show you. And when it's me and my role, it's us. Great and unsearchable things we don't know yet. Don't take my word for it. Jeremiah says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it, I think he's pretty awesome, and established it. The Lord is his name, and the Lord capitalized means Yahweh, I am who I am, but he's also intimate. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I think that's the adventure that he's inviting us to this year. You individually and us corporately, but it's up to you to engage. Because there's a lot of exciting things to get behind here, guys, that need to be further developed, and it just might need your input to do it. I look at Jim over here, and Jim's one of our handymans that does all the hands-on work around here and beyond some. It's just amazing to me because I can't do any of it. And also, I celebrate the gyms of this world all the time, all right? But all these ministry avenues, guys, if we get behind them and develop them as he leads, starting with him, this is going to be a wild adventure of a good year of great joy to discover. I'll close with this story, I promise. I tell you, I've got about four or five more up here, all right? And we'll end up with scripture. I'll pray that scripture. I'll invite the team up at that point. Just to give you a caveat of, this is just one stream of development of the things that we're doing in those four piers right there. We've got our house. In fact, show the preschool pictures real quick. Real quick, the preschool pictures. That's our preschool class doing their Christmas presentation. This place was filled with 50% of people who don't give a rip about what those kids were talking about and singing about, and you tell me that there wasn't something going on from God into these people's lives that day. And we have groups meeting around here that we invite to come into and celebrate that with them. Some will, some still won't, but we're getting there. And we're going to reach people. And our preschool, I'm trying to remember, I want to make sure I hit all of them. Developing worship, we talked about that, all the change. Okay, finally, let's get to the story. I'll give you one tributary of the story. There's multiple facets to this that it's open to you to explore and to figure out. But it comes with, again, a very challenging ministry for both groups, not just a group in here, but for a group that's sitting in there. Because a lot of times, this group in there don't like a whole lot of you, and a whole lot of you don't like a whole lot of them. And we encounter that all the time. We're just we're willing to take it on because God says, take care of people like that. But work together and empower each other to do just that. And I'll show you, on our houseless ministry, we've got a couple of facets there. We've been developing this Sunday morning thing, and that's a work in progress. And that's been very difficult, and limited bathrooms, all of that stuff going on right there. But we've got two programs that we've been doing for a very long time, Freezing Nights. And again, it's where they stay overnight on Thursday night into the next morning. We have one of our deacons who comes in and makes breakfast for them in the morning. And I know Bobby's around here. That, what a godsend. There's a workhorse right there, guys. And she's not going to like this, and you might barely see her if she stands up. But Ginger's back there as well, too, so, you know. But you tell me God isn't doing something to get us all out of our comfort boxes into carrying the mission to the streets, and he'll bring it to us if he needs to. And he does. But on our Sunday afternoons, every single Sunday afternoon, we host a community meal in here that, again, Amy's kind of spearheaded through the years. And we've changed her title from DCE, Director of Community, of what is it? Director of, what is it? Christian Education. Yeah, I should remember that, right? Right? To the Director of Community Events, because she's an entrepreneur, and we're unleashing her to do just that. And this was kind of her spearhead, and they all worked on this together. But we have a meal that meets there, and we have groups that come in. And here's how it can turn into an opportunity instead of a threat. We have groups like Maya, one of our Girl Scouts, Maya Potts. I don't see her here today. She brought in 20-some of her Girl Scout friends because she had to lead it. All of the parents who wouldn't normally hang out came along with. They weren't allowed to do a doggone thing. They had to stand to the side because the girls had to do it. So they're all standing there. It's kind of fun watching them all stand and cluster in the corner. Because we, you know, we're not going to venture out, and this group's not, you know, so we're all doing all of that. And then we got the thing going on, and they're cooking, but it's all working. I talked with Pat McGregor, the principal over here, who has spearheaded and brought teachers from Meeker Elementary over here to serve in that particular meal, bringing communities that are usually at odds with each other together and reinforcing and working with each other. We have a team. We had a fast-pitch girls softball team 2 weeks ago that had people from all over, from Port Orchard, that were participating in this meal. The girls were running, and we were having a ball. When you stand in the middle of that, and it's interesting to me, though, because some of you, you know who you are, and I'm going to pick on you a little bit. Some of you give me narrations, and when you talk about your perception of all of this, and then you tell me that you've never even taken part of it, because I'll ask you usually, well, have you been there? No. How did you form your opinion? You know, go to it, and then tell me. And then I'll listen anyway. But instead of putting prescribed definitions on it, let's just get our hands dirty. And I'm telling you what happened. The one day we were there, it was about 2 weeks ago, we've got this meal going on. That community, our community there, is working for us. We're working with them. And when you stand in the middle of this, I'm standing there thinking, this is the right thing for the right reason. This is just one tributary of what we do, three's another, all of those things that we got going on out there, our youth program under development. But when we're standing there, this is the right thing for the right reason, because we're walking humbly with God. And everybody in that room knows it. That group of people who sleeps outside at night, maybe for 15 minutes, there's a moment of joy. And if they're experiencing that, so am I. And here's how it becomes positive. We had a little activity one time where one of our peeps got a little bit out of sorts, used some very colorful four-letter languages in ways I haven't heard before. That was kind of interesting, you know. But that all happened, and when it happened, you could hear and you could feel all of the air in that room just get sucked out. What's going to happen next? And then the people who have been around it a little bit, know what to do with it, didn't just rush in and fix it, just kind of did their thing, went and engaged in it, dissipated, and everybody went on. It happened for maybe a minute, and then everybody went back to doing what they were doing, and there was joy in the room again. And my point to that being is, if we're going to change this mindset from everything as a threat to an opportunity, those people went home that day. It wasn't that they were talking about, you should have seen what happened. I'm never going to do that again. You should have heard what she said. It wasn't a negative narration that came home that day. I guarantee you, to a person, everybody was back to, this was incredible. We made a difference in each other's lives. Them to us to them, all just people after the same thing. We made a difference. And we had community together, and because we were having an opportunity and treating it such, it absorbed the negativity and kind of dissipated it.